American friends purporting to be Christians who would elevate color in such a carnal way over truth and righteousness and law and order. That's even more mind-boggling. It's as if the slaves once delivered under law are voluntarily putting themselves back under the rule of Pharaoh. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. This country has never experienced such deception. Deception is ripping apart this country. Abraham Lincoln said it was the last best hope of earth. But when we are willing to ignore truth, when we have no more love of the truth, and we take pleasure in unrighteousness, God will give us over to a dramatic, unrecoverable deception. That's what the Apostle Paul said. They love not the truth, and they take pleasure in unrighteousness. I want to urge you to get a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints. Your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hand. Never has a book been more appropriate. And for those of you that would like to give it out in bulk, as many have, we make it available, the 24 books in a case, for a 45% discount, because we want you to become agents to help get that message out quickly. These are the end times. We're seeing it unfolding before us. God bless you. Be a blessing. We urge you to become a partner with us. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Grismire. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views as well, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and we invite your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, why is there so much of a push to get the socialized medicine through at the present time? Because that's really what they're talking about. They don't want to call it socialized medicine, but what it really means is the government is going to control health care delivery in this country and going to determine who lives and who dies. Well, for the first major reason that there's a sense of urgency is because the Ponzi scheme is collapsing. Certainly, Mr. Madoff, Bernie Madoff, went to prison. He ran a Ponzi scheme. He actually got people to give him money, and then he paid benefits with the money that came in. He spent the rest for his own benefit and lived high on the hog, but as long as more and more people were feeding money into his system, why, he could continue paying out the benefits. But when the market turned against him and people stopped putting money into the scam, why, of course, the Ponzi scheme collapsed, because there wasn't any money there to pay out benefits. And that's exactly what has happened to Medicare. None of our politicians are telling us that Medicare is a Ponzi scheme that pays out benefits from the money that comes in. Now, supposedly there was to be a trust fund, where they took the money that was excess, because initially there were a lot more people suddenly paying in than were receiving benefits, and so they were able to have a trust fund, but politicians being politicians, wanting to have excess money to spend so they can make everybody like them, so they can give money to their congressional districts so they can get reelected, and so they can have special pension funds for the congressmen, so they can have special health care for life for the congressmen and their families. Why, this is, of course, why they had to spend the trust fund, but they figured, well, you know, we'll be out of office long before this whole thing falls apart. And it wouldn't have fallen apart for some time if it hadn't been for the economic crash and so many people out of work. Somewhere between 25 and 30 million Americans are either unemployed or underemployed, and they're not paying into or paying as much into Medicare. So this year, last year, and I believe it was last year as well, but certainly this year, why the Ponzi scheme is falling apart. There's a sense of urgency because they're putting out more money than they're taking in, and they're having to go to the trust fund, but there is no money in the trust fund. And part of this massive deficit we're having and developing today, part of that $5 billion we're having to borrow every single day to pay our debts, part of that money is going to pay for Medicare. So we've got to cut back on Medicare. Now, of course, they're saying, well, you can keep your Medicare program. You've got Medicare. You can keep your Medicare program, but they're going to have to cut back on payments to doctors and hospitals. And I will tell you that the doctors are making, the surgeons, such as I was an orthopedic surgeon, making a third the day of what they were making when I was practicing. And, of course, then, of course, the other thing is they're going to have to limit access to expensive health care, and they're going to have to let people die. This is why they have their death counseling. They call it end-of-life counseling. It's really death counseling. And they're going to pay the doctors to talk their patients into dying. And believe me, they're going to target doctors who give quality care because they can't afford it. But they can't tell the American people everything's a lie. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and here, if you're in the Central Coast of California listening to this program, our telephone number is 464-8295, and it's the open line Wednesday, so we'll look forward to seeing you, because we had an open line Wednesday afternoon as well. Our scheduled guest didn't show up, and so we had an opportunity to talk to a lot of people out across America, and we'll hope we do the same this evening. But right now we're talking about, of course, the crisis in health care. And there's no way that President Obama can do what he promises to do, and that is expand health care and provide health care for every single American. And then, of course, cut the expense of that. He says we've got to cut medical expenses if we're going to balance the budget. What he really means is we've got to limit access to health care for the elderly. And, of course, we're going to have to limit access to health care for people all across this country so that we can, of course, control what happens to people. And what you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, and this is the hardest thing for people to really understand and believe, and it really was for me as well, that there really are people who want to kill off most of the world's population. And many of these people work in key positions in government. One of them, of course, is Dr. Zeke Emanuel. He is the brother of Rahm Emanuel, who is the White House Chief of Staff. Dr. Emanuel is the head advisor to medical advisor to President Obama. He is the chief advisor to President Obama. He is not the health czar, but he's the chief advisor on medical issues. And he has written openly condemning the Hippocratic Oath and the doctors who are wedded to the Hippocratic Oath. Because the doctors who are wedded to the Hippocratic Oath and believe in the Hippocratic Oath are dedicated to saving human lives. And he doesn't believe that at all. He believes that we should let people die. And he certainly works for something, I believe it's called the Houston Institute. Under any circumstances, its goals are exactly the same as that of Dr. Kevorkian, which is why I refer to the health care bill not as the Obama health care bill, but as the Kevorkian health care bill, because there really are people. There really are a number of people, very wealthy and very powerful people, who have openly spoken about the necessity for world population control and removing the majority of the people in the world? And do you really, in your heart of hearts, want to give them the ability to control health care for you and your family? Are there really people who would participate in a program of genocide? And the answer is, yes, there are. Well, this is Dr. Stan. This is Open Line Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if we should just cut to the very heart of the health care debate, they want, of course, to control health care delivery and the practice of medicine for everyone in this country. They want end-of-life counseling there, and, of course, they want boards which would be set up by the government to determine what treatment is appropriate, and if they don't think that a coronary bypass or a valve replacement is certainly proper for somebody who's 80 years old, 85 years old, they'll simply be able to say that is not proper medical practice, and they don't necessarily want to call that a death panel, but you will actually hear, I believe it is something very, very soon, maybe it's tomorrow evening, as a matter of fact. We'll have Dr. Janda on. He's an orthopedic surgeon. Reminds me sort of myself many years ago. But Dr. Janda has studied this subject extensively, and he claims that money is already there for the death panels, but it is not in the health care bill. It was in the stimulus bill. It's already passed there, where they're going to have these boards that are going to determine what health care is appropriate. Well, it'll be interesting tomorrow evening. I hope you'll be listening for the first hour when we interview Dr. Janda, who's a very, very articulate young man. As I say, he reminds me of myself, idealistic 30 years ago. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's open lines, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. But right now, we've got Bill calling from Syracuse, New York. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Well, actually, I'm kind of upset about something I read about this morning, and I was calling to let you know about it.
All right, go ahead.
Probably already do, but for just in case you don't and in case your listeners didn't catch it. I was on World Affairs Brief this morning, and I saw an article from Pastor Chuck Baldwin that I can't remember what day it was supposed to be, but I guess there's going to be a ceremony at the White House and on the South Lawn. They're going to be flying the Communist Chinese flag in commemoration of the 60th anniversary of the Communist takeover of China.
Well, Bill, I understand why you're upset about it, but what most people don't understand is the American State Department brought the communists to power in China back in 1949, just exactly as they brought Fidel Castro to power in 1959, as they brought the Sandinista to power in 1969. They always seem to do it, that number nine number. So I think people do not understand. We brought the communists to power in China. We kept the communists in power. We're funding the communist regime in China today. We're encouraging our companies to move over there. Where do you think the money came from? All those magnificent buildings and communities that they have in communist China, it largely came from the United States, from the International Monetary Fund, which we control, from the World Bank, which we control, from the Asian Development Bank, which we control, from American banks, from American corporations, which we encourage to go over there. I understand why you're upset, but we have to go back in history to understand this is nothing new. It's gone on for a long time because the people who really run our government want these totalitarian dictatorships throughout the world because we brought the communist governments to power. In fact, right today, we're backing, you know, the return of President Zelaya to power in Honduras. He's a communist, and he's backed by Fidel Castro and Hugo Chavez and the Obama State Department. We want to get him back in power. He was legally deposed by the Supreme Court of Honduras. Nobody's ever telling the American people that.
Well, I just wanted to urge you and your listeners to remember the people, the Christians and others who have been persecuted in China by the communists. and are still being persecuted today.
Well, let's talk about the hundred million people that they've slaughtered. You will never read go ahead and finish your thought there, Bill, and I share your concern. Go ahead and finish your thought.
I also like to remember the unborn babies who were murdered, oftentimes against the mother's will.
And oftentimes financed by International Planned Parenthood, financed by American taxpayers' dollars. We have supervised and helped and financed and coordinated this, in many respects, the slaughter of those tragic children in China. But nobody speaks out.
I'd also like to remember the American servicemen who were abandoned there after the Korean and Vietnamese wars.
You mean those no-win wars that we fought, never trying to win? They were always a diversion for the American people to give the idea we were anti-communist. It wasn't until Vietnam I realized that we never tried to win the war. But go ahead, Bill.
Any of your listeners that don't look to see where their clothing and appliances are made, I hope they'll start doing it. And I can understand buying stuff from China if you can't afford anything else. But there's a lot of people that just plain don't care.
That's
real sad.
It really
Unfortunately,
is.
Some of them are in my own family. And there's just one other point I'd like to make, and then I'll let somebody else on. You hear all the time about the 6 million Jews were killed during the Holocaust. I hear it over, and I'm not saying it's not a tragedy. I'm not trying to belittle it or anything like some people do. But you hear about it over and over and over again. And then this guy who's supposed to be our president, and I know if it was a Republican, it'd be the same thing regardless of who it was. But no, hardly anybody gives it a second thought, and I'm sick of the double standard.
Bill, I can tell from the tone of your voice how deeply you feel about it, and I share your concern. You know, we talk about the 6 million Jews. We never talk about the 40 to 44 million Chinese who were intentionally starved to death between 1958 and 1962 in China by the government in something called the Great Hunger. The Great Hunger, you can look it up on the Internet. They usually use the figure of 30 million, but the actual figure was 40 to 44 million. Well, how could you ignore such a tremendous atrocity? And many of the people there in China today were part and parcel of carrying out that genocide. And why don't we call, for them to be tried, if any of them are still living? We're certainly, arresting Nazi guards, people who worked in the Nazi prison camps as Nazi guards. But why don't we do the same thing for China? And it all has to do with a diversion. Our leaders wanted that in China. They want that for America. They want an authoritarian regime controlled by a ruling elite. And there are all sorts of secret agreements between our leaders and their leaders. And if you doubt that, you can look up the Group of 30 on the Internet. The Group of 30, they're the people who really run the finances of the world. And there you'll find Timothy Geithner, the Secretary of the Treasury at present time, Paul Volcker, the Chief Economic Advisor to the President, and Larry Summers, who's the head of the Council of Economic Advisors, along with three other members of the Trilateral Commission in the Group of 30. And there you'll find the head of the Bank of China. What's the head of the Bank of China doing working with Larry Geithner? Why, they're all in bed together, but we can't let the American people know that. Why, share your concern, but have you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness?
I can't say as I have yet.
Well, if you don't have the money, go up on my Internet site at radioliberty.com and simply just scroll down to the Radio Liberty, just to videos, and then scroll down there to Brotherhood of Darkness. You can watch the talk for nothing. And we just go into the fact that we've financed communism since its inception. Yeah, the American people really should be upset, but they'd be even more upset to find out that communism was created and financed in large part by people in Washington, D.C., and people with the Federal Reserve System, and of course, we continued financing them ever since the inception of communism in 1917. But we can't let the American people know.
Well, let's not forget the people who died under, who died and are dying under under other communist regimes also.
Amen to that. Okay, anything else, Bill, before we let you go?
No, I just it's been bugging me ever since I heard it this morning. I just had to get it off my chest.
That was Chuck Baldwin's article about the red flag over the White House. And Chuck's doing a good job of getting the information out, and we all ought to be concerned. Hey, thanks
very
much.
I just needed to vent to a sympathetic audience.
Well, you got a sympathetic audience here, and I share your concern. God bless.
Okay, you too. Thanks.
Bye-bye. And, well, they got John calling from Texas. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And give us a call. It's Open Line Wednesday. We'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. But we simply mentioned how the United States State Department brought the regime to power, the communists to power, in 1949. It's covered by a number of books, but certainly my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will give you the report, the exact quotation from the Senate Investigative Committee that looked into how it was that the communists were able to take over China. And basically, of course, the State Department put an arms embargo on the nationalist Chinese. They couldn't buy weapons anywhere in the world. Even the weapons they'd bought and paid for, why, we blocked them from getting them. Congress kept appropriating money to send to the nationalist Chinese. The State Department refused to send it. Congress appropriated weapons and arms, and of course the arms were purchased, put on boats, and kept in harbor for a year and a half on the West Coast. And when they finally arrived in China and they opened the cases of rifles, they didn't have any bolts, and the rifles were useless. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, we've got John calling from Texas. Hi, John. How you doing?
Not too bad.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We have John on the line from Texas. And if you'd like to call in, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. But John was just simply talking about the fact that somebody had said that they did not open the files, the German files, until very recently, about the macabre experiments that have gone on in Germany. They had all these records, and that's absolutely true. I mean, they've done everything they could to conceal this. In fact, one of the commandants of one of the concentration camps was a Nazi officer, an SS officer, who worked very closely with Alfred Kinsey of the Kinsey Institute here in the United States. And he was eventually tried for murder and for pedophilia and all sorts of things. And, of course, it was quite a scandal over there in Germany, especially as his close association with Alfred Kinsey, and totally blocked out here in the United States. We can't let the American people know about the close working relationship between the Nazis, American corporations, yes, and even esteemed American doctors like Alfred Kinsey. Anything else you wanted to say there, John?
About 10 or 15 years ago, I was watching public TV, and they showed a film, actually, of all the mass graves. And they said that it was in, like, a British, you know, I don't know if it was a museum or what it was. But anyway, it was really totally amazing because what they were doing, they just had big old holes dug, and these trucks would pull up, and, you know, they were pretty good-sized trucks. And on these trucks, there's probably like 50 people, you know, that were dead. And so then the guys that were throwing these people in these graves, you know, they were just skin and bones, looked like they were fixing to fall over dead soon. And the dead people didn't even look like human beings, you know, because they were just skin and bones. The only way you could really tell that it was actually a human was their head. And I heard later on that when you starve or something, you know, your head doesn't shrink or whatever, but anyway, they showed all that, and so then there's this big old Nazi, you know, great big old guy, you know, probably 6 foot something, and, you know, weighs, you know, a couple hundred pounds, maybe 250 pounds, and this guy's, you know, got his uniform on, that shine boots, and like I say, these people, they're fixing to die throwing these people in the grave, and then when we went into the concentration camps, it ends up where that big old Nazi was throwing those people in the grave, and I guess, you know, we were helping all these sick people. And, you know, but what you really got to wonder is the thing with all these FEMA camps they're talking about. and, you know, just what they really have up their sleeve.
Well, I tell you what, we've got a great a special on concentration camps. We have a four-tape set. We got a video called called America Behind Barbed Wire. We actually have some various reports. We have something called the Concentration Camp Special. Got a lot of great information in it about what's going on. I have a talk called Planned Police State, the Planned Police State, and have a syllabus with that. Alex Jones is coming out with a great DVD. We just saw it called FEMA Camps, or Camp FEMA, perhaps that is. Well, that'll be available in a couple of weeks. We got a preview copy. It is a very, very powerful thing. Yes, John, there really are concentration camps. They really do intend to put Americans in those concentration camps. We're dealing with organized evil. The same spirits of forces that were in Nazi Germany are alive and well in America today. Anything else, John? We've got a board full. We've got to let you go, but thanks very much for calling, and I share your concern, and thanks so much for
calling. One more thing I would say. Robert De Niro came out with a movie about a year or two ago about the beginning of the CIA, and they point blank openly said that they went to the Skull and Bones, and that was like the leaders, you know. And, you know, it was even on ABC News they were interviewing.
Right.
So, you know, they come right out and said, you know, who was behind all this. And so, in a way, when you think about that, it's no surprise George Bush was the head of the CIA.
Right. George Bush was the head of the CIA. Interesting, we never talk about that, how he was the head of our super-secret police, just like Gorbachev and Andropov and Putin actually came from the head of their secret police. Isn't it interesting? And then George Bush's son becomes the president. But if you'd think that they might be able to find somebody else besides a totally inept person like George W., at least George Herbert Walker was a fairly smart individual. George W. really was not very smart. He had a hard time even reading his lines, and if he didn't have his lines to read, it was a disaster. I know, because I had an opportunity to interview him with a group of people who were instrumental in getting the Christian vote behind George W. Bush. One of the greatest regrets of my life is that, I did everything I could to try to get the group not to appoint him, but a lot of good people backed him. He was a very convincing deceiver. We'll be back here in just a moment. Thanks so much for calling, John. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Bruce calling in from Spokane. So, hi, Bruce. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan. Thank you. I'm calling in to let the listeners know that there's some sinister things happening in Spokane.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about it?
Well, Spokane, Washington is what is called a charter city. It means that, you know, due to its size, metropolitan area, about 500,000, they're able to choose their own type of government, whereas, you know, other ones that are established by the state constitution, the state government. And we can have an initiative to change just about anything. We had a group of people, a small group of people, park their carcasses in town here and start this proposition, what's called Proposition 4, and it had, they call it Envision Spokane. And it starts out like residents have the right to locally based economy. Residents have the right to affordable preventative health care. Residents have a right to affordable and safe housing. And these are enforceable objects that the city is supposed to enforce on all the residents if that is not the fact. And some of our city council members said that this is going to be the Full Employment Act for attorneys if it ever passes. However, it was put on our ballot. It will be on our ballot in October, and coincidentally, we will not have a voter's pamphlet printed to warn the prospective voters of what this thing means. It is the rabidly socialist agenda that's beyond belief. Included in there is, natural environment has the right to exist and flourish. The natural environment has the right to exist and flourish. Talks about rivers and ecosystems. They have the right to flourish. And
is there any organized opposition to this at the present time, Bruce? I mean, we know that we've got a lot of people listening to our programs, but is there an organized opposition?
Yes, we have an organized opposition. We did. We are very strong in the opposition. However, the people that moved in, they had $500,000, and they stated that they would sue if it was not on the ballot. They would sue if we tried to stop them. And they said they would be willing to reassert this proposition at least 3 times if it failed. And they're burning $500,000, and we don't know where that $500,000
came. Well, there's got to be some way to find out where the money came from. Obviously, if they're the nonprofit, they have to have some sort of a declaration. Well, these Dr. Stan, we've got Bruce calling from Spokane talking about a proposition going to be on the ballot in October of this year, and apparently it's one of these things. They got some carpetbaggers came in with a lot of money trying to get something passed there in Spokane that's going to it's a program for total control over everything. Government's going to provide health care for everybody. And what are a couple of the other things it's going to stipulate,
Bruce?
Well,
workers have the right to prevailing wages. It doesn't limit anybody that is a city resident. And it's virtually anybody that can come in and make a claim against the city has a right to all these wonderful little things.
Well, now, what is the title of this initiative?
It's called Proposition. It's called Envision. They call it Envision Spokane.
All right. This sounds like a typical Agenda 21. Envision, Vision, or Envision. It's
yes.
All part of the same program. Of course, you have ICLEI up there as well. All we can do is we'd be glad to, if you have a speaker on the subject, give me a call off the air. We'd be glad to put you on some evening or put somebody on.
I can do that.
And
Sydney,
we need people need to know what this is about. There is a conscious, organized, well-financed move to establish a fascist society in America. Under the guise of think globally but act locally. That was, of course, Marie Strong's theme. And that's exactly what they're doing all across America. And these people are willing to work full-time because they want to destroy existing civilization. Okay, and so you give me a call. We'd be glad to do a program on it.
All right, very good. I'll establish that person and see if I can get them to speak on your program. Thank you again, Dr. Stan.
You're more than welcome. God bless, and thanks for everything you're doing up in Spokane. I wish we had...
Oh, we're fighting hard.
I know you are.
We've adopted the policy. Think globally and act globally, too.
God bless. Thanks very much.
Good.
Well, let's go to...
Good evening.
We've got D calling from Spokane, and our telephone once again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or... 464-8295, and Mark is waiting in New York, but right now let's go to Dee in Spokane. Hi, Dee. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, Dr. Stan. I just wanted to give you a little report on our local Congressman Walt Minnick's town hall meeting. I'm hearing you out of Spokane, but I reside and vote in North Idaho. So the meeting was at North Idaho College in Coeur d'Alene. And, of course, the subject of the hour was socialist medicine. And two things really struck me. I've been going to these sorts of things for about 30 years, and the atmosphere was absolutely electric. It was a rowdy mob on both sides. And I would say about 2/3 of the 1,000 people attending, it was just packed. The auditorium was just packed. About 2/3 were opposed. 1/3 was in favor, but it had the flavor of a campaign rally instead of an informative meeting. And then there was a virtual media blackout.
Are you still there, Dee?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, fine. Now, is the congressman for or against the socialist?
Oh, he's for it. He's a liberal Democrat, a wolf in sheep's clothing.
All right, fine. Then you want to let him know that he's not going to get reelected if he goes along with the Kevorkian health care plan.
Well, that was the general tenor of the meeting, but he almost didn't care, and it was all under a veneer of financial and social responsibility and all that, and he got as many catcalls and boos. I have to give him credit because it was basically a hostile audience, and I do give him credit for at least appearing in person and not doing one of the virtual, filtered meetings. So I'll give him credit for that, but he is a junior congressman, and the First District of Idaho has classically been a conservative district of America.
All right. Well, I think you have to understand that a lot of Democrats got in the last time because there are a lot of conservatives who are fed up with George Bush and his torture and his wars and his lying and his socialist program, because George Bush was a socialist. He got through Ted Kennedy's Medicare drug bill. Ted Kennedy couldn't get it through. He got through it, No Child Left Behind. That was Ted Kennedy's legislation. The Bush family has always been socialist, but they had to be sold to the American people as conservative. But a lot of people are so fed up with them, they actually voted for Obama and for the Democrats, because they were fed up with the Democrat, with the Republicans, because they'd betrayed them. And they had. But until we understand that the leaders of both political parties are controlled by exactly the same people, and it's all a game of the frustration. And usually, many times, they'll actually rig the elections. They'll have fraudulent votes and fraudulent voting machines. We've got to take America back, and we've got to get involved and get involved very, very quickly, Dee.
Yes, I think you're exactly right. I voted for Chuck Baldwin in the last election because the Republicrats and the Demopubs, I mean, they're all one large party, really. And now they're talking about Olympia Snow is going to sell them out and all that. And, you know, I'm fed up. I will never forgive the Republican Party for the way they threw Ron Paul under the bus.
Well, if you got a good Republican congressman, back him. If you got a good Democrat congressman, there are few and far between. There are a few of them. Back him. But vote for the man and what he stands for. And if he supports the Constitution, he deserves your vote. If he doesn't, then you vote for somebody who supports the Constitution.
Amen.
Okay, God bless, and thanks so much for letting us know. Let's go to Mark calling from New York. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Mark. How are things back there in New York? Are you upstate New York?
Downstate, right near New York City.
Okay, fine. Well, then you got to be listening, what, shortwave or internet?
I am shortwave. I love your show, and I guess it's more of a frustration, my comment. You know, you're right about what Bush, he sold us to us as a conservative. There's no such thing. You mentioned No Child Left Behind and the other Kennedy bill, the prescription drug, which I was reading somewhere. They could have covered the seniors if they had means testing for about $1 billion, and it's costing us close to $1 trillion now. But, you know, what's really irritating me is, you know, we were able to get Van Jones out, but who knows how far out he's going to be. He's probably just going to be sneaking back into the back door of the White House. But this other guy, Holmgren, who's got this abortion policy. He wants to abort babies, you know, when they get the testing beforehand. He's in for euthanasia. He's got the Darwinian eugenics. I mean, did American people realize how similar, as you said, that we are, these guys are to the Nazis? Nothing's changed. One of the other major talk show hosts was mentioning Cass Sunstein and how he doesn't believe in the Second Amendment is an individual right. We know he's wrong, but he's also a virulent animal rights activist. He's anti-hunting. He believes animals, people should be able to stand in for animals and sue you in court. It's radicals all the way around, and nothing's changed. Another show host had Jim Maher, who's the author of a book called The Fourth Reich, and he basically lays down that there is no change from the Nazis, from the Bush family, and the Kennedy old man supporting the Nazis and the bankers. You mentioned it before. What is it going to take to retake our country back? Because I don't know how much more we can take, sir.
Well, what we have to do, first of all, get people educated, get people to understand what is really at stake, and get them to be willing to commit themselves in this truly epic struggle. We're involved in warfare now, but it's a warfare of ideas. Yes. And, of course, behind that are the powerful dark spiritual forces, because this is what everybody's missed. They talk about, you know, ideas and socialism and right and left and conservative and liberal. It is a spiritual battle. These people hate God and they're energized by evil. When you understand that, when you understand the significance of the Gnostic faith, which is really what energizes everything going on today, when you understand there really is another dimension, there really are beings from that other dimension who access our dimension, and some of them are posing, you know, in one form or another, why, it's about time people understood what the battle is about. The churches aren't telling us, and this is why I do what I do, and you've got to learn, you've got to be able to express yourself and begin to convince others of what's going on. And when we have enough people, we don't need a majority, we just need enough people who are willing to take a stand, and we can take America back. Will we do it? I don't know. Only God knows the answer to that. But we have an obligation to oppose evil. as it says in Ephesians 6, I think it's 12, you know, wherefore put ye on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And that's our job.
Yes. Well, my dearly departed mom was a devout Christian, and she used to tell me that, you know, you need a hedge of protection against evil. And I believe that's true. I do believe my friends and coworkers are coming around to the truth. But there are a few that will use the information. If you're as outspoken like I am, and I may have mentioned this to you once before, I had a coworker who is definitely working against me in an evil sort of way, telling lies and disparaging on my part. And I think it's because of my beliefs, because I can't figure any other reason why. You know, so you can reach some people, but some people that you do reach will turn around and stab you right in the back. But I'm going to keep this the full armor of God on, and I'm going to keep explaining this to the people as much as I can.
And for, as far as this fellow who's backstabbing you, pray for him. Pray for him.
You're right. It's very difficult, but I have to.
If you hate him, why, you lose. If you pray for him, why, you know, you never can tell how the God will work. I've seen some most amazing conversions in my life.
I will do as you say, sir.
God bless you. Thanks very much, Mark. And that was Mark calling from New York. Let's go to Brett, who's calling from Rapid City, South Dakota. Hi, Brett. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you hearing us?
Internet.
All right. Very good. Well, good to have you with us. Do you have a question or comment?
I want to ask you a question about health care. I don't know that you have the answer. I tried to call the other night when you had... you had on for 2 hours a doctor who had
that was
gone
probably
Dr.
Blaylock?
That's the one right there.
Right, go ahead.
Dr. Stan, as you know, I'm a pastor, and I have a number of people in my church that have health care through, or health insurance. Everybody has health care, but they have health insurance through some of these sharing groups. You've probably heard of Brotherhood. I think they're with, it's called Samaritan's Purse.
Yeah, everything I've heard about has been pretty good. What's your thought on it?
Well, I love it, but I'm fearful now. Will the Obama plan that he's trying to ram through, will it take away that option? You know, it's a Christian-based system where people are to live right. And then, of course, it's relatively low cost in comparison to health insurance being purchased on the market. And I just wondered if you knew that question, or if perhaps at some point you could ask someone when you're going to interview someone about it.
I think it's an excellent question. I don't know the answer. I would hope it would not interfere with it, but you see, the people surrounding Obama, the people who put him in power, hate Christianity. They do not want an alternative to control anybody. You know, as a Christian, belongs to a Christian church, can get into these programs, and I've heard the same good things that you have about them. In fact, we really should get some of the people who are involved. In fact, if you could give me a call off the air, well, I'd appreciate it, and maybe you could put me in touch with the people who run your organization and the one you belong to, and we could give them a little publicity. I think these things are the obvious solution to the problem. We should have county hospitals for the people who, you know, are totally incapable of providing their health care. We need to get government out of medicine. We need, of course, get hospitals back to being dedicated to taking care of people rather than making money. But certainly there's nothing. You have to make money to survive, but we've certainly changed the whole thrust of medicine from being a noble profession, a caring profession, to one which is a business, and we can thank the Reagan administration for that. They said we wanted to be a business, we want to bring competition into medicine. Certainly, the last thing we want is medicine to be a business. We want it to be a profession where people make money but the primary purpose was to take care of people and you made money, rather than the primary purpose to make money and then secondarily you take care of people. I think the Samaritan Purse and other Christian sharing groups are a wonderful approach.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you'd like to say?
I believe that's it.
Well, why don't you, if you have a chance, why go ahead and get me the information on that, and we'll get somebody from the group on.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Well, let's go to Sandy, who's calling from Yakima, Washington. Hi, how are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. I was wondering how I could find out which of my representatives believe in the Constitution. How can I find that out?
Well, you simply look at their voting record, and simply there are all sorts of places. The New American Magazine always has a...
they do?
Yeah, once a year they'll actually have something to where they rate people on 10 bills, how they voted constitutionally, and okay. That gives you a pretty good idea where they stand. Do you have access to the New American Magazine?
No, I don't. I've heard you mention it, though.
Well, if, Sydney, you can go up, I'm sure you can go up on the Internet and just type in New American Magazine, Congressional Ratings, something of that sort, okay? If you have problems, you can always call me. God bless.
Thank you.
Let's go to Tony, who's calling from Spokane. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Boy, I have a lot of callers up here tonight. I didn't mean to be a rabble-rouser last night, by the way.
Well, we've forgiven you.
I don't know if you heard, but Orly Tate appears to have had quite a bit of success just in the last 2 days. Did you hear what happened?
No, I haven't. Would you like to tell? First of all, you want to tell our listener who that is, and then what has happened?
Well, Orly Tate is a lawyer who has been going after... I call him the pretender-in-chief. I just can't use that other name. Who happens to be in the Oval Office as far as going after whether or not he is eligible to be president, because it does not appear that he is a natural-born citizen.
Well, she is a rather interesting individual. She's a dentist. She's also a lawyer. She's also said that he seems to have the ability to take these cases to the Supreme Court, which is, you know, not every lawyer can do that sort of thing. So what's happened in the last 48 hours?
Well, this is on WorldNet Daily, and it's in a few other places. But she has convinced a federal judge in Santa Ana, California, Judge David Carter, to hear the case, and it's going forward. It's scheduled, the Obama's, or I mean, the pretender-in-chief's office, as they tried to get a dismissal, the judge said basically no. This Judge David Carter is a former Marine, and he was really quite harsh against the pretender-in-chief's lawyers. He said, I have a really good quote here, he said that the judge is a former Marine, repeated several times that this is a very serious case which must be resolved quickly so that the troops know that their commander-in-chief is eligible to hold that position and issue lawful orders to our military in time of war. He basically said Obama must prove his eligibility in court.
Well, I know that they've spent almost $1 million fighting these lawsuits, and all they have to do is simply produce the birth certificate.
So well, she has a certified Kenyan birth certificate posted on the WorldNet Daily site, along with his footprint, the doctor's signature, seals, stamps, and everything else on there.
Oh, well,
and on October the 5th, if the judge, who is a former Marine, grants her discovery, Mr. Pretender-in-Chief could be very well bye-bye in a very short manner of time.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen, and I'll tell you why, because there are powerful spiritual forces behind Barack Obama, who planned many years ago to bring him into the presidency. There is a powerful spiritual force behind Obama. I would be very worried about the safety of that judge and certainly already Tate, but we'll wait and see what happens. Thanks for letting us know.
Maybe you can get her on your program again.
We could, and I'll try it. God bless.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Paul calling from Texas. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Good to have you with us.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and
I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
Plus about it, it's a very mild form of swine flu. Somebody was calling in that up there in the state of Washington, at Washington State University, they had something like 2,000 young people sick, but none of them were very sick. They had a little mild flu symptoms. Nobody had been hospitalized out of the 2,000. Media is making a big fuss about it, but this is a media event, has very little to do with medicine. I'm much more worried about the vaccine. They've already spent about $8 billion simply on the vaccine, and they're going to spend another $10 or $20 billion. The vaccine companies can make up to $40 to $49 billion every year and do immeasurable harm. Hey, Tim, we're out of time. Well, we'll be have open lines next week. Give us a call. I'm back with you. Okay, fine. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, where we do have a donate button there, called radioliberty.com, www.radioliberty.com. We get a great CD set on the swine flu vaccine, and we certainly recommend it to you. That's the swine flu vaccine. Of course, we got another great new 4-CD set on the shack. We've got a 4-CD set on certainly deadly assassins, going into how the government actually hires assassins, and you'll actually hear the interview with a couple of CIA assassins. An interview with an author who tracked down the man whose job it was to kill General Patton. We do carry the book, Target Patton. Of course, we've got a CD set on how they killed Martin Luther King. And of course, it wasn't James Earl Ray at all. I was thinking when they were talking about the lawyer who was going to allow the case to go forward on President Obama, this judge apparently said, well, we ought to at least have a hearing on it. That's what happened when they had James Earl Ray up there, and he'd asked for a trial after being bulldozed and pleading guilty. He asked for a trial. There was a man named Judge Battle. He was the judge, and he said, all right, we'll give you a trial. And do you know what happened? Why, the very next day, Judge Battle just dropped over dead from a heart attack. What a coincidence. And the next judge said to James Earl Ray, you're not going to have a trial. You're going to prison for the rest of your life. Because James Earl Ray didn't kill Martin Luther King. There was a trial. And you never heard of the trial. And that's what the four tape set is, the execution of Martin Luther King. We've got a great four tape set on the murder of Bobby Kennedy. Information you're not going to get elsewhere. And that's why we do what we do, to try to get you informed. But behind that are the powerful spiritual forces that are concealing the truth from the American media. That's covered in my talk, Brotherhood of Darkness, my talk on the forbidden secret, my talk on financial Armageddon, where we go into the invisible force behind Barack Obama. Who really put him in power? What was the spiritual force? How would we know about it? I mean, is there any written documentation for what I say? Well, those three DVDs, Brotherhood of Darkness, or the book Brotherhood of Darkness, and the talk Forbidden Secret and Financial Armageddon, available from Radio Liberty, are number 1-800-544-8927. We say it. We want to remind you about our all-day conference on the 25th of October. We're going to have Dr. Catherine Albrecht, William Grigg, Tom Horn will be here. It's going to be a great time. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, you're going to have a reservation because we're going to be serving lunch. We're going to have to know you're coming. If you're coming from outside, we'll be glad to send you directions and or information on local housing. And then, of course, we hope that you'll go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and encourage others to go there. They can listen to our programs there 9 hours a day on the satellite feed. They can watch our DVDs. They can watch our other DVDs, other videos, links to other areas, and then of course read our newsletters. And then please pray for America, pray for a revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully the next hour they're going to be the views of Stephen Meyer, who's written a wonderful book on the signature in the cell. The signature in the cell, and it goes certainly into the digital information that is actually in the molecules of our chromosomes, of our genes, and really, of course, the amazing, amazing organization that brings about the human body. And, of course, he's with the Discovery Institute. His book is Signature in the Cell. DNA and the Evidence for Intelligent Design. Now, Stephen Meyer was a professor. Now he's working at the Discovery Institute trying to get out information on intelligent design. And most people really don't understand that basically intelligent design is simply not saying that there is a God. It's simply saying that there is a designer, that there is a perfect order to everything in society. And if you basically, some people would call it God, but that is not the argument. They do not want to say that intelligent design suggests a creator. It only suggests that there is an intelligence behind what's going on today, because this could not have happened by accident. Of course, this is all an effort to actually get information out to get people to realize, of course, that the Darwinian theory is simply a lie. Well, so far, we don't seem to have our regularly scheduled guests, so if you'd like to give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We'll be glad to talk about what you want to talk about, or if you'd like to talk about evolution, why, we'd be glad to talk to you. But, you know, the idea that everything just developed by accident. I mean, the heavens developed by accident. The earth developed by accident. The chemical makeup of our earth developed by accident. Music, the perfect order in music developed by accident. The perfect order in arithmetic developed by accident. I don't know how many of you remember when you were going to high school, seeing the periodic table, and it just lists all the various elements. And each one would have one more electron or one more proton or an electron and proton. There, you know, in the nucleus, you had another electron, you could have another neutron, and basically, how could this all just happen by accident? Of course, there's no way it could. I was just thinking how perfect orderly even languages are. We have a number of different languages in the world, but they are all perfectly organized, and certainly with with nouns and verbs, although they're different, every language is organized. Did that just happen by accident? I don't believe so for one minute. There had to be a designer for everything going on in the world. Well, it doesn't look like we're going to have our guest, so give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you. And this subject, how do you feel about evolution? How do you feel about design? Is there a signature in the cell? Is there something there that suggests that this couldn't have happened by accident? Or if you want to talk about the Obama health care plan, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly the subject this evening had to do with evolution, and our professor who is supposed to be with it, Dr. Stephen Meyer, it doesn't look like he's going to be here, so we're going to be just having open lines, and we would welcome your calls if you're out there and you have something you'd like to talk about. But you look at certainly everything about what's going on in the world today. You certainly, look at the perfect order in the heavens and the way the planets and the solar systems and the galaxies and the universes actually certainly all interconnect. Are we to believe this thing just happened by accident? Are we to believe that music, the perfect order of music, the perfect order of arithmetic, of geometry and trigonometry, all of these things happen simply by accident? Let's go to Herman, who's on the line here. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Very good. This afternoon I heard a wonderful interview on Southwest Radio Church. They were interviewing a gentleman about genetically modified crops, and he was mentioning some research done in the Soviet Union using soy-based products and how, and the genetically modified things, how it was having horrible effect on their lab animals. And it just dawned on me that if we do go to the point where most of our food is brought from genetically modified crops, we literally could be facing the extinction of mankind, or most of mankind, because they said that the sperm in these animals was off by 60-70%, and many of them had other serious medical problems. And of course, mankind may be a little stronger than rats, but the point is there seems to be an organized plan, because when the head of the research there in Russia, who was paid to run this test, went to her superior, and she said, she was horrified at the results. She said, we have to let them know this is not working. And then he came back to her and said, no, we're stopping the project. And she said, who, why? And he told her, my superiors and their superiors are the ones that are controlling. When he was very distraught over it, he tried to comfort her. And he said, well, my dear, this is a way that we can control population.
And I think that's, hold that thought. We'll be right back here in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Suddenly we have Herman calling in. Our telephone number, there's going to be an open line hour, so our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Herman was talking about an interview we heard this afternoon on Southwest Radio Church, and certainly some of my favorite people are there. And suddenly they were interviewing a man named Jeffrey Smith, who we've done a number of interviews with, and we have a four-tape set on genetic engineering through Radio Liberty. But basically, Jeffrey Smith was telling a story about how over in the Soviet Union, they were doing scientific studies. This woman that was doing scientific studies on, certainly on the use of, I'm going to ask my producer to pick up line six there, if he would, please. Somebody's calling in. Could be our, please, Herman, go ahead, pick up line six. But anyway, of course, they were actually checking what would happen with genetically modified soy, and of course, this woman, of course, found that the animals that had ate the genetically modified soy, the Monsanto soy, why they did not have any sperm. They certainly markedly reduced the sperm, and of course it wasn't good for the animals at all in many ways, but the thing that surprised her the most was the marked decrease in the sperm count. And of course, she went to her superiors, and she wanted to get the information out. She was told she couldn't. And her superior told her, my dear, you must understand what this is about. We are not going to let you get the information out because it has to do with population control. Now, we know here in the United States there have been a number of instances where, of course, hog producers have actually used the genetically modified corn on their hogs, and the hogs became infertile. The male did not put any sperm out, and they simply lost their herds. There were no new little piglets. Could this be what this is all about? Well, let me tell you that there is a group that is setting aside seeds up above the Arctic Circle. Who is actually putting the seeds aside up above the Arctic Circle in the permafrost there, so they'll be able to have seeds when all of the seeds on Earth have been destroyed? Why Bill Gates, who's dedicated to population control? The Rockefeller Foundation, which is dedicated to population control? And Monsanto, who has genetically modified corn and soy and cotton seed and certainly canola. And they've done this, and they seem to be involved in this whole population control agenda. Also, the largest genetic manufacturing company over in Switzerland. They're all in this together. They're dedicated to population control, and they're turning out products that destroy fertility. Do you think this is happening by accident? Why, you better get involved. You better get the facts, and we'll have to get Jeffrey Hunt Smith on here very soon. Well, right now, I think we have on the line Dr. Stephen Meyer with the Discovery Institute. Are you there, Professor?
You bet. I'm here, Dr. Stan.
I'm so glad. I appreciate so much being with us. Fascinating book, Signature in the Cell, and I want you, of course, to go ahead and tell us about how you got involved in this whole idea of intelligent design, because, of course, you've raised an awful ruckus. An awful lot of people have lost their jobs simply for saying, well, maybe there was intelligent design, not saying there's a God at all, but there's some sort of an intelligence behind what we find, certainly the signature in the cell.
Yeah, absolutely. I got into this back in the mid-'80s. I was working as a young scientist in the oil industry. I was a geophysicist doing digital signal processing, an early form of information technology. I attended a conference that came to the city where I was working. The conference addressed the big questions at the intersection between science and philosophy, questions like the origin of the universe, the origin of life, the nature of human consciousness. And I got fascinated with the panel that was presenting on the origin of life, in part because the unanimous opinion of the scientists there was that there is no adequate undirected evolutionary explanation for the origin of life itself. Many people don't realize it, but Darwin never addressed this question. He attempted to explain how you get more complex forms of life from simpler pre-existing forms, but he never gave an account of how life, he never even addressed the question of how life first came to be, how those first simple forms of life first emerged from simpler non-living chemicals. And in 150 years since then, subsequent generations of scientists have been unable to do so as well. And what fascinated me was the reason that this problem has proven so intractable, especially in modern times, and that is that scientists have been unable to give an account of the origin of the information, the digital code that's stored in the DNA molecule and which runs the show in biology. So in the book, I call this the DNA enigma, the mystery of the origin of the information necessary to build the first life. And that question seized me, and, well, almost 25 years later, I finally produced a book about the whole odyssey of discovery that I subsequently embarked upon.
Well, of course, I saw recently that wonderful, wonderful DVD by Ben Stein called Expelled, which just talked about what has happened to many of the scientists who dared to say, well, gee, maybe there is some sort of intelligent design. And I know there was a gentleman who actually had published one of your articles in the Smithsonian publication, and he got simply demoted, for daring to even allow your article to be read in a peer-reviewed article. And this has happened to so many people simply because they said, well, maybe we ought to at least look into this.
Well, you know, there's really only two options at the fundamental level. Either life is the result of mindless, undirected processes, or some kind of conscious intelligence played a role in the origin of life. It's a great and fascinating question. It goes all the way back to the ancient Greeks. And right now we're in a period of time when many in the scientific establishment have established a kind of iron grip of orthodoxy on all questions of origins, and there's a just kind of an expectation that if you're a scientist, you're going to answer that question in the first of the two ways and affirm that a purely undirected process was responsible for everything. And yet, what we know from experience is that information, this distinctive feature of living systems, is also the distinctive product of intelligence. And that's the elephant in the room, if you will. And what happened at the Smithsonian's Journal was that Dr. Sternberg sent my paper out for peer review. It was reviewed, and three different scientists approved it. I had to make some revisions, which is customary. I did. Sternberg was satisfied with the revisions. He put it forward in the journal. And about a week later, the lid blew off. The Museum of Natural History, where he was working, as the paper just ignited a firestorm of controversy. He had his office taken away. He had his keys taken away, his access to scientific samples. He was transferred away from a friendly supervisor and placed with someone underneath. He was placed underneath someone who was known to be hostile to him. And then all kinds of terrible rumors were spread about him, about his stealing, even stealing library books and various things, and that he was on the take from the Discovery Institute, my institute. All of this was false, and in the end, he was demoted. So it was a horrific experience for him. And the irony was that at the time, at least, he wasn't even an advocate of intelligent design. He was merely someone who had some skeptical doubts about Darwin and wanted to see the issue of intelligent design aired out in an appropriate scientific setting rather than the op-ed pages, as he put it. The Wall Street Journal, which wrote an article about his case, said that the irony was that that Sternberg wasn't even the ID heretic. The heretic was this guy Meyer out in Seattle.
And that, of course, is you.
That is, I'm afraid, it was I. Yes.
Did you see the Ben Stein production? Expelled?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
What did you think of it?
Well, I thought they did a very good job of portraying the intolerance that now reigns in many parts of the scientific establishment.
And here's, they say, well, you don't believe in science. I always like to say, yeah, sure, I believe in science, like the Piltdown Man. I really believe in the Piltdown Man. And the Nebraska Man, there is science. I mean, science is a search for truth, and science sometimes makes mistakes.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And this is one of the rhetorical moves that's made in this. If you question some part of evolutionary theory, then you're said to be questioning science itself. Well, I'm not questioning science. I'm using science to make the case for intelligent design. And in fact, that's really where my story picks up. After I got fascinated with this whole question of the DNA enigma, I began to wonder if there wasn't evidence for intelligent design. I encountered a scientist at that first conference named Charles Thaxton, who had written a book called The Mystery of Life's Origin, in which he had enumerated the many difficulties with these so-called chemical evolutionary theories, the theories that are attempting to explain the first life from simpler chemicals. And he, in an epilogue chapter with his two colleagues, proposed that the DNA, the information in DNA might be pointing to an intelligent source for the simple reason that we know from experience that intelligent agents often produce information, and he thought maybe this was an indicator of such a thing. It was highly intuitive and made sense to a lot of people. And I began to wonder if it was possible to make a rigorous scientific argument for intelligent design based on the standard methods of scientific reasoning that scientists use when they are investigating these questions of origin. So when I got to Cambridge a year later, I began to study the works of Darwin. And I discovered that he had a very common sense scientific method that actually, ironically enough, underscored the conclusion of intelligent design. And his method was based on the idea that if you're trying to explain an event in the remote past, you should be looking for causes which are known to produce the effects in question. And the effect in question in this case is information. What's the cause that is known to produce it? It's intelligence. So by his own method of reasoning, his own principles of reasoning, I came to the conclusion that intelligent design could be developed as a rigorous scientific inference and explanation for this key fact of modern biology.
Well, I mean, how else can you explain the magnificence of, you know, just of a simple molecule, you know, that can actually produce proteins and of course these turn off and all. Well, we'll talk more about that when
you
get back.
I hear your music. I better stop.
Well, that's time to stop, and now it's time to start again. So,
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Was just telling us that if you go to his website on intelligent design, they have some animations there to try to explain how this whole system works. But it is so incredible what happens in every single cell in our body. And certainly there are all sorts of evidence that there is direction of how this works. And I was simply asking, you know, how we know that this very complex a set of events is taking place in the individual cell. It's almost as if there's a master director who's telling the various genes what to produce, the DNA sequence, how to produce proteins, and those proteins are taking amino acids and putting them into molecules, which are the very substance of life. So how do we know how this works?
Well, one of the things that I discuss in the book in the early chapters is I actually tell the story of how Watson and Crick first elucidated the structure of DNA, and then in the subsequent chapters how the rest of the scientific community, the leading biologists in the 1960s and 70s, were able to discern exactly what DNA is doing and how it is directing the construction of all these proteins and protein machines. Some of it was done with technologies like X-ray crystallography. Today we're able to actually image with electron microscopes some of the fascinating structures of the molecular machines that are at work. My colleague Michael Behe at Lehigh University, who wrote the now famous book, Darwin's Black Box, which is describing many of these molecular machines, has described how, not only how they work, but he's explained why they're not readily explained by a gradual Darwinian mechanism, but there are actually some fascinating images that are now available. Scientists have been able to actually see in pretty clear relief the structure of, for example, this bacterial flagellar motor that Behe has made famous. So There's a variety of techniques that are being used and have been used to unlock the mystery of the inner workings of the cell. The deeper mystery that my book addresses, though, is the origin of, for example, that digital code that is running the show. First line of my book is that when Watson and Crick elucidated the structure of DNA, they solved one mystery, but they created another. The mystery they solved was the mystery of the location of hereditary information, but the mystery that has remained with us right up to the present is the mystery of the origin of that information, and that's where I think intelligent design comes in and where it can help explain that mystery to some significant degree.
Well, you know, it is so really incomprehensible. I mean, we live in a body made up of individual cells. I don't know how many cells, maybe a trillion of them. And each one of them has all of these, this vast mechanism within inside of it. But it all has to be directed almost as with a computer so that everything works for the common good. Would that be a fair analysis?
Yeah, that's very well stated. And you have the cells have to communicate with each other. Within the cell, there's all kinds of communication and control in the engineering sense of the word. Might be helpful just to sketch the basic form of the argument that I make, and then we can elaborate on that a little bit. But as I mentioned, I was trying to determine whether or not a really rigorous scientific case could be made for this idea of intelligent design. And What I came to was that it could, and the reason for that is that there is only one known cause of what we call specified complexity or information. If you look at a hieroglyphic inscription, or if you look at a section of text in a book, or a headline in a newspaper, or a section of computer code, and you trace that information in any one of those cases back to its source, you always come to an intelligence, not a mind, not a material process. So the discovery that DNA stores information in the form of a four-chemical digital code is a striking discovery, and one which points decisively back to an intelligent cause. If there's only one known cause of a given effect, when you find that effect, you can infer the cause. And I think that's what we're looking at, a decisive indicator of prior intelligence. That's information.
But, of course, the people on the other side hate this thought because it suggests that there might be some force or spiritual force behind this. And, of course, the advocates of spiritual design, of intelligent design, are not saying, oh, you know, there's a God at all. They're just saying that there has to be a designer behind what's going on because there's, or at least there has to be an intelligence because this could never have happened simply by happenstance. And I love that interview with Stephen Dawkins over at Cambridge when he's asked, you know, where life came from. Well, maybe you've come from another galaxy. But he never asked where the life came from in the other galaxy.
Well, right, and
hold that thought for just a moment.
Yeah, you bet.
This is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest, of course, is Stephen Meyer, and of course, we're talking about this idea of intelligent design. And suddenly, I was commenting on this wonderful interview with Stephen Dawkins, and he's a professor, I believe, it's at Cambridge, isn't he?
There's two guys over there. One is Stephen Hawking. He's the Cambridge physicist, and I think you're talking about Richard Dawkins, the Oxford biologist who was in Expelled and who floated this idea when Ben Stein was pressing him, and he admitted to Ben Stein that no one knows how life first began. There's no evolutionary explanation for it. But then he posited, he said, well, it could be that there's a signature of intelligence. And of course I perked up because that was the title of the book I was working on at the moment. And he said he said, if there is such an intelligence, it must have itself evolved from chemical processes someplace out in space. But you can't get life to arise, you can't get the information you need for life here. There's no reason to think that it would magically happen in space. So he just kind of pushed the question off into the distance, I think.
Well, it was really a very, I thought, very, very significant interview. I think that Ben Stein did a wonderful job there, just showing the total intolerance of so many people within science for another idea that simply challenges the idea that everything happened by accident.
Well, it also showed Dawkins's atheistic presuppositions. I call it the ABG option. He's going to invoke a space alien, and ABG stands for anything but God. You know, so.
Well, anyway, I thought it was fascinating, but I think your book is fascinating as well. And so basically, I mean, there's so much knowledge about the working of the cell now, and as you point out, certainly many of these ideas we use in industry today, but nobody would suggest that they just evolved. Somebody had to lay out the pattern for them. These are going to be utilized in industry.
Well, you see, that's one of the key points in the book. We're not inferring intelligent design because we can't figure out how evolution did it, how some undirected process did it. As it happens, there is no undirected process of which we know that is capable of producing digital code, information in that rigorous sense.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is Stephen Meyer, and we're talking about his book, The Signature in the Cell. And before I do go on, so I don't forget, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your website, how they can get copies of your book.
You bet. The book's available through all the major bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Borders, those kinds of places. If it's not in your local store, you can order it. It's in their systems. It's available on Amazon and the other online book distributors. And you can get information about the book at the book's website, signatureinthecell.com. And that's where you can find that animation that I mentioned before, signatureinthecell.com.
All right, fine. Well, basically, Chris, when we talk about this very, very sophisticated, this code, basically, of course, could you explain to our listeners what you mean by this digital code within the makeup of the DNA?
Yeah, you bet. It goes back to Francis Crick, who was the great genius that worked with Watson in discovering the structure of the DNA molecule. And that discovery was made in 1953. But 4 years later, in 1957, Crick proposed what I think is the most bold and audacious conjecture in the history of biology. He proposed that four chemicals that run down the interior of the spine of the double helix are functioning like alphabetic characters in a written language, or digital characters in the machine code. Instead of having zeros and ones or the English alphabet, though, there are four characters, four chemicals, and the chemists represent them with the letters A, C, G, and T because they actually function like letters in a sentence. And it's a four-letter alphabet rather than a 26 or a two-character code like we have with software, but the arrangement of those chemicals along the spine of the DNA will direct the production of very different sequences of amino acids resulting in very different proteins or sometimes not proteins at all. So it's the sequential arrangement of the characters that determines, of the chemical characters, that determines the kind of protein that is produced. And that we call that property sequence specificity, and that is or specify complexity. And the idea there is that the sequential arrangement of the characters determines the function of the molecule as a whole. Just like if you're playing Scrabble, you want the letters to be arranged in a certain way in order to get your triple word score, to spell a meaningful word as opposed to gibberish. The sequential arrangement, the sequence matters. And that's what you have in the DNA. You've got a series of chemicals that function as characters where the sequence is key to the function that the molecule performs.
Now, is the DNA one molecule? Is the double helix the construction of one molecule? Because this takes back a long way. In fact, I'm not even sure they taught this when I went to college. Certainly, we know that the chromosome was made up of genes, as I remember.
Yeah, the genes are sections of DNA, and the DNA is what the chromosomes are made of. So And then one of the fascinating things is that inside the cell, the DNA can spool and into very tight, compact, densely packed systems of information storage. There's a system called nucleosome spooling, where the DNA wraps beautifully around these protein molecules that function just like spools. And so as a result, the information storage density of the cell, of the DNA molecule, is just extraordinary, and many orders of magnitude more compactly, the information is more compacted by many orders of magnitude than we have in even our most advanced superchips. So it's not just the information that's on DNA, it's how the information is stored, how it's processed, how it's expressed. It's a fascinating system.
And you say there are basically four elements there that actually determine and lay out the pattern of knowledge.
Right, but you'll have many, many, many of those four chemical characters repeating in a long sequence, just as you may have only zero and one in the computer code, but you'll have a long stretch of zeros and ones in order to spell out any particular application in the computer. Bill Gates actually has made an interesting observation. He says that DNA is like a computer program, but much more complex than any we've ever written. And that, again, underscores the main argument of my book. We know from experience that programs come from programmers. And so the discovery of something that is functioning just like a program inside life points to a master programmer for the living system.
Well, you know, I'm constantly amazed. You know, I look back when I was in college, what's 60 years ago, and ever since we had no knowledge of any of these things. It's amazing how knowledge has just increased phenomenally in the last 60 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And in my book, I recount a number of the key discoveries from the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, but then I bring it up to date in the final chapters and show how the things we're learning since the publication of the Human Genome Project, and especially since 2007 with the publication of something called the ENCODE Project, which has shown that even the sections of DNA that were previously thought to be so-called junk are performing very important functions, and that overall this junk DNA is performing the function of an operating system in a computer, which tells the other information when to turn on, when to turn off, where to be expressed, and so forth. So it's regulating the expression of the other information. And this was actually a key prediction that advocates of the theory of intelligent design made beginning in the 1990s, that the so-called junk DNA would not be the result, would not really be junk as the Darwinists were expecting, but instead would perform important functions. And so that illustrates how the theory of intelligent design can actually guide science to new discoveries and make important predictions that can be tested in the laboratory.
And of course, one of the exciting things is the fact that actually a certain drugs can have an impact, or molecules based on the foundation of the drug can have an influence on really turning this whole mechanism off and on, and literally, of course, into thousands and thousands of chemical reactions. They can just modify the whole chemical reaction, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. It's regulatory systems are at work. Engineers in your audience will understand what I mean, that you have these if-then subroutines that are at work in the genome, where they get environmental, there's an environmental cue or trigger that affects the organism or the cell, which will cause, through various chains of reactions, certain parts of the genome to be expressed and other parts to be repressed or suppressed. So it's you've got regulation and control of the genetic information as well. So it's there's an error correction device that's at work within the DNA that ensures the fidelity of replication of the information. I've got a kind of a funny story. We had a very senior and expert software developer who was working closely with our molecular biologist for a few years, and he came into my office and said he said something I'll never forget. He said, I get an eerie feeling that someone else figured this out before us. I said, what do you mean? Well, he tossed a book on my desk called Design Patterns, and it's a standard a manual for software designers. And he said, a design pattern is a term of art in computer science for a design strategy or design logic. And what I'm finding in the cell, as I'm talking to the molecular biologist, is the cell is using all the same design strategies that we use in modern digital computers, except that it's using an 8.0, 9.0, 10.0 version. He started talking Microsoft talk, and that's when he said it gives him an eerie feeling that somebody else figured this out for us, except that, that somebody else was quite a superior software designer because he was using such an elegant design, in fact, the very ones we're finding inside the cell.
Well, now, what sort of response are you getting from scientists, you know? Are scientists afraid to actually embrace this? I mean, the whole theory of science was academic freedom, why we should have the right to explore, to challenge. Certainly scientific truth today can become, you know, certainly proven to be wrong in a different theory. This was the whole idea. Darwinism was the theory of evolution. And certainly the theory of intelligent design. This is a theory, but certainly everything points to the fact that it's really quite accurate. What is happening today, especially, has there been any reaction within academia to
Bernstein? Well, I think there's been two phases of this. I mean, the initial reception, and maybe even three, I think, you know, from the early 90s through about 2004, the interest in intelligent design kind of just continued to build and build and build. And then in 04 and 05, with the controversy at the Smithsonian and the trial in Dover, Pennsylvania, there was a tremendous media backlash against the theory. And I think there was whether unwittingly or not, there was a portrayal of intelligent design as kind of backwards fundamentalism. Dover was portrayed as a replay of the Scopes trial, where the intelligent design people were the drooling, white-shoed Bible thumpers who knew no science. And so we had a period of a pretty rough treatment in the media, and a lot of stereotypes and stigmas were kind of associated with intelligent design. And I think, oddly, you know, with the Expelled movie and now with some of the new books that are coming out, I think we're back on the offensive, and I've been very pleased in the reception to my book so far. On Amazon today, a very prominent British surgeon scientist posted a very favorable review, and he's a fellow of the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons in Great Britain, one of the leading geneticists in Britain, endorsed my book, a member of the National Academy of Sciences here in the States. So I think there's more openness to this, and I think this information argument really resonates with people. We live in a high-tech information age. People understand the utility and the importance of information, and the discovery that we've got digital code in cells, that we have all these sophisticated information processing systems that work inside living systems, and that we recognize those design patterns, that logic from our own information technology, I think is turning the light bulb on for a lot of people, and that was really one of the things I was attempting to do in this book.
Well, you know, it takes an awful lot of faith to think that this could possibly have happened simply by accident. There had to be some intelligence out there that put this all together. And certainly we see this throughout every aspect of living organisms, and you know, from the simplest bacterium all the way up to the complexity of man. When you look at a human body, you know, and you look at what the white cells do and the various types of white cells and the immune response, and everything is in perfect balance.
It's extraordinary. You're right, Doctor. And the interesting thing is that I often say that the people that get the argument for intelligent design first are engineers, software designers, and medical doctors. Interestingly, there was a poll a few years ago of U.S. medical doctors, and over 60% expressed skepticism about neo-Darwinian evolution. And it's not hard to see why, because they're working with an exquisitely designed system, and that being the human body. And my book, of course, is looking really only at a much simpler, more tractable question, which is the origin of the very first living cell. But it turns out that at that level, what's supposedly simple is immensely complex, and complex in an integrated way, not just messy complex, but a kind of complexity that is functional, that displays coordination of different parts, and most fascinatingly, a complexity that is produced because of a prior complexity in the form of the information that is conveying the instructions for building all those complex machines.
Well, I think the most interesting thing is, of course, the viciousness of the attack, and certainly rather than discussing the issue, which is intelligent design, then, of course, they want to bring in all the religious aspects and condemn people for believing in the Bible. But that is not the issue you're making at all. You're talking about intelligent design having nothing to do with religion as such. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, I think the theory is based on scientific evidence and standard methods of scientific reasoning. I discussed that earlier when I showed how I had come to the conclusion of intelligent design actually using Darwin's own method of scientific reasoning, which is a little ironic, but there you have it. But I would also say that the theory does have larger philosophical and worldview implications, and that those implications are friendly to theistic belief. Obviously, if there is an intelligence responsible for life, one possible candidate for that intelligence is God. Another possibility, as some scientists have proposed, is perhaps some kind of intelligence that is within the cosmos, the space alien hypothesis. I myself prefer the God hypothesis because it not only doesn't beg the question about where that space alien came from, but you have other evidence of design besides the evidence that we're finding in biology. In physics, physicists have been talking about the fine-tuning of the laws and constants of physics since the 1960s, and there's any number of dozens of parameters now that are known to be just right to allow for the possibility of life, the numerical strength of the expansion rate of the universe, or the gravitational force constant, or electromagnetism, or all these different physical parameters that are just right. And many physicists have seen that as very compelling evidence of intelligent design, and the interesting thing there is that that evidence is located in the very fabric of the universe as a whole. It's not something that some creature within the universe could account for. So I think when you look at the evidence from biology as well as the evidence of physics, I personally think that the evidence points to a transcendent form of intelligence, and I think that does give some aid and comfort to traditional theists.
But of course, The people on the other side, and I think you put it best when you said that ABG, the whole anything but God theory, which basically is what the people on the other side oppose, and the reasons they get so really furious, and the reason they try to demonize and destroy anyone who talks about intelligent design is because, many of them have a real intense hatred of this concept that there might be a God out there. And
I think there's an interesting religious dimension to the debate, but people typically want to say it's the intelligent design people who are religiously motivated. I think the shoe is actually on the other foot. And you see that in the kind of response that Richard Dawkins gave to Ben Stein. My sometimes debating partner and a very fair-minded Darwinian opposite number, Michael Ruse, has written an important book in which he's very explicit about the role that Darwinism has played for many intellectuals. He says it's functioned as a secular religion. And when people have their religious beliefs questioned, they oftentimes become very emotional and sometimes irrational. And I think this use of power to try to shut down the debate by shutting off people's websites or demoting them or denying them tenure, I think that is essentially religiously motivated, but the religion in question is not traditional Judaism or Christianity or some other theistic faith. Instead, it's the what you might call the worldview of scientific materialism, Darwinism functioning as a comprehensive worldview or secular religion. And I think many scientists have overlooked the role of their own religious devotion in their reaction to the challenge to Darwinian theory or other branches of evolutionary theory, as my book is challenging chemical evolution, for example.
Well, I think the important thing is science. The purpose of science would be the search for truth.
There you go.
And that's what it should be all about.
Couldn't agree with you more. What a concept, huh?
We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, it's this fascinating information, and of course, coming as you know, I'm a evangelical Christian. Of course, I believe that God created these things, but purely from a scientific point of view, and this is the whole thrust of the book, we're talking about intelligent design, and so that these people cannot be attacked for being, why, believing in the Bible, like that some scientists would attack that. But you must understand there is a conspiracy against God. That is why anybody who even dares to talk about intelligent design will be demonized and will be attacked. And yet, of course, I mean, all we have to do is simply look at the marvelous creations, whether they be in the heavens or whether they be in the smallest cell. It just didn't happen by accident. Well, of course, we carry a book called A Tornado in a Junkyard, certainly by, it's an excellent book by a man named Perlow, a personal friend of ours. If you haven't read it, it's well worthwhile reading. A Tornado in the Junkyard, going into the background of evolution. Now, it doesn't get an intelligent design, but this Dr. Meyer's book is excellent. We haven't decided whether we're going to be able to carry it or not, but it is well worthwhile reading. But understand that there is a design to everything. We did not evolve from lower animals, and the reason that this is taught in school today is to destroy the faith of our children, because they want to turn them against God. That's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, because they knew if they could destroy the religious beliefs of our people, they could destroy the freedom of our nation, and they could end up with a hedonistic society as we have today, with a society that's the largest exporter of pornography anywhere in the world, an area where certainly 25% of the white, almost 40% of the white births now are born out of wedlock. I think 75% of the black children are born out of wedlock. They've destroyed the moral fabric of our society, and they did it intentionally because they want to use America, our military and financial power, to bring about this one-world Luciferian movement and one-world Luciferian government. There really are people who worship Lucifer. You need to study Gnosticism. You need to start with my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our pamphlet on, there are the three pamphlets set, The Occult Hierarchy. It goes into who really rules the world. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret, my talk on the Financial Armageddon, their syllabus as it goes with both of those talks. So you can understand what's really going on today. And you can verify this. You can find their emblems on the back of the dollar bill. You can find George W. Bush giving their code words and their code phrases in both his first and his second address. The first address, on two occasions, he referred to the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm. The angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm. People heard it. They had no idea what he was talking about. But, of course, he was talking about the Luciferian angel that is directing America today. Every Luciferian understood that. I'm not saying that George Bush understood what he was saying, but certainly the people who were writing his speech did, and the chief speechwriter at that time left the White House to go to work for the, as a fellow, at the Council on Foreign Relations. And, of course, in the second